Okay, apologies now for the coughing. You know, I'm in faith that Holy Spirit will just be a bit of lubrication into all the bits of my body. Rich asked a while ago if I could squeeze in speaking again before I disappear off for the summer, which I do week after next. So just in case you don't see me, I haven't, you know, been taken up. And I said yes before being wise in asking him, well, you know, what is the subject that Sunday? To be told, oh, it's a free choice. And I hate it, I have to say, when it's a free choice, because it means that Holy Spirit could ask you to speak on absolutely anything. And that's what he's done. I may or may not skip three parts, because although it's here in paper and it's in my heart, I'm just trusting Holy Spirit. And I just want to be obedient to him. The weird thing was, when I was praying about today, I kept getting the phrase in my head, when eagles dare. And I thought at first it was Where Eagles Dare, that brilliant war film, but no. When became key. So bear with me, because we're actually going to look at Psalm 103, but we're going to look at it through the lens of how God's used that to help me in some of my battles and in walking every day. And we do get to When Eagles Dare, so just bear with me, okay? If you've missed any of the last kind of like however many weeks worth of sessions, I would encourage you, go listen online or get the recordings, because we've been going through that whole thing, haven't we? And there's some on the information desk as well. Matt's just waved at me. We've looked at heroes of faith, and we've looked at the truth that for every single one of us sat here, we are heroes of faith, however small, however large that is. We've looked at being people of influence. And we've looked at how that could be positive kingdom influence, or it could be negative world influence. And I know where I'd rather mine be. Bob and Nettie took us through that grace of how God walks with us even when mental health and well-being is part of our battle. The women, Liz and Jane, looked at forgiveness and that whole thing of what it is, but also why it's important and how God blesses us when we do learn to forgive. And then Rich, you know, he was sharing last week, wasn't he, that Holy Spirit kept bringing up the word offence. And he, like me, we had little battles because we didn't actually want to speak on what the Holy Spirit wanted us to speak on. So a little question for us. When you became a Christian, did you think that, you don't have to answer me by the way, or put up your hand, but did you think that life was going to become easier, that it was going to become a bed of roses? Because I don't know about you, but when God crashed into my life, it was very easy actually in one way to say, oh God, I'm so sorry, I'm yours. I'm sorry, thank you that you're here. And actually, in one way, I look back now and think that was the easiest, because the most difficult is the everyday life choices that I have. Am I going to be Christ-like, or am I going to be of the world? And sometimes, for me, life feels a bit like this. A picture of a man carrying an elephant. There's a famous picture that I was trying to find, but I couldn't remember the name of it, but it's a man carrying an elephant up a mountain. You know, and sometimes life can feel like that, can't it? We don't exactly want it to be. If there's one thing that you take away from this morning, you know, all through the songs, it's been about how great our God is, isn't it? And actually that when we trust him, it doesn't matter what our battles are, he hems us in. He's behind us. He's in front of us. He is to the side of us. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. You know, I think how cool is it that each one of our names is written on the palm of his hand? If that's not truth for you, write it out and get speaking it out. Because as we speak those words out, so they become truth and so they set us free. I had to type this bit because I didn't really want to bring it. Some of you will know my journey these past years as I've battled with my body and mind, trying to kind of live with, in a sense, that diagnosis of depression, fibromyalgia, arthritis, all these beautiful terms that the medics have. And I think, right, okay, but actually I'm not going to let them define who I am because I'm his. They've had a huge impact on my emotional, spiritual, intellectual and physical energies in ways that I didn't realise. It impacts on how I socialise and relate with all of you. And that's about me. That's not about you. Walking that kind of road of the now and the not yet, you know, I know that I'm his. And I know that he is mine, in here, in my core. I would hope that like a stick of rock, if you cut me through the middle, that's what you would see. My soul is well with him. It doesn't mean that my body always is. But it is. And I'm secure in that, but it doesn't mean that I'm secure in that truth every minute of every day. I have those choices, decisions to make. And when I am battling, he always brings me back to Psalm 103. And he actually brought it into my life back in October 94, when I was involved in a head-on car collision. That's not my car, but it is a Mini that I was in. And actually, I couldn't really get out, but I'm here now. And in reality, I should be dead from how the accident was and from how I was afterwards. I shouldn't be here. And pain and bruising, I never thought that bruises could be black. But I was black from like my neck to my ankles. And if you'd met me back then, I couldn't move my upper body at all. So I'd like be a robot. I'm not going to stand up because it takes me ages to get up on this chair. I could move from my elbow down to my hand, but I could not move from my elbow upwards. And I talk with my hands, and I couldn't do that. And if I was turning to look, I'd have to turn my whole body. And I shuffled along like a 90-year-old. And if you'd met me at church, I would have been lying at the front on a blanket because that was the only way I could be there because standing and sitting were too painful. And I was farming at the time and in my final year of uni, thinking I'd be heading off out overseas. But life curveballs come, don't they, whether we plan for them or not. And the pain and despair, I can't explain to you how bad they were. But I gathered all my medication together and it was there by the side of my bed. And I thought, you know what, God, I'm just going to take all of these because I'd rather have one day without pain. And if my body is going to be crippled like this for the rest of my life, I definitely don't want to be here. I used to rock climb, canoe, abseil, all sorts of things in my slimmer body that I don't do now. I simply did not want to be alive. And as I looked into that black pit of despair, there was a whisper, read Psalm 103. And he kept on. And he kept on, and he kept on, read Psalm 103. So Andy is actually going to read that for me, so I save a bit of my breath.
So it's on the screen in NIV version. I'm reading ESV, so it's going to be slightly different. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his act to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, and to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers, who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Thanks, Andy. When I first read that in kind of the place where I was, I knew I had to read it out loud, but it was kind of like this praise. The Lord, oh my soul. It was gritted teeth. And actually, I was reading out words that I didn't believe in, that at that time had no truth. And then Holy Spirit said, read it again. So I did. Read it again, over and over. And actually, my voice began to change. Hope began to sound out in my words. It became, praise the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, praise his holy name. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my sins, who heals all of my diseases. And as my heart began to beat faster and faster, that black tunnel got smaller and smaller. The thoughts in my mind began to change as truth began to take hope. So hope broke through the darkness that day. There is no dark place where God's light cannot reach us. In reading out that psalm, it stopped me from taking those pills. It stopped me wallowing in despair and self-pity and believing the lies that were whirling around in my brain. And it took 4 years to get my mobility back. I'll never rock climb again. I'll never lift a bale of hay as easily as I did before October 94, but you know what? It doesn't matter because I'm here. And actually, he's done so much in me. He does so much through me. And he's made my life better, even if I didn't think it could be back in October 94. So I'm thankful. It's not my first near-death moment, and I doubt it will be my last. But I do know that if it had been my time up, my Abba would have taken me home. And I've even got in there a little bit of England footy in this time. You know, England as a nation, we've been caught up, haven't we, in the it's coming home. And the hope that has kind of risen in our nation, the pride, a good pride, not a negative pride, that's come back. Well, yeah, that's all good. Actually, it didn't come home, but hope and pride and a fabulous team did. But I know that there will be that day when I stand before my God. And I'm hoping to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, because that'd be like the icing on the cake, if you like. I don't know all of your stories, your past, your present, or what's to come, but God does. And we can so easily forget all of his promises. But he promises that there are benefits that he gives me. You know, when I think of some of where I've been and what I've done, I wouldn't forgive myself sometimes. And yet he forgives me. And in my own strength, I simply would not physically be here today. He satisfies me with his good, not what I think's good for me. There's a difference. His good. He led me through a hard working environment to the place where I am now, and I absolutely love it. It was worth the years that I had because he's moulding and he's shaping me. You know, the psalm says that he made his way known to the people of Israel, his deeds, and he does that with us. And how high and wide and deep is his love for us that nothing can separate us from it, even when I feel like I'm unlovable, because I do at times. You know, even when I feel like I don't deserve it, that's a lie. Nothing can separate us from him. There are days when it's physically or emotionally hard to get out of bed. But his promise is he redeems my life from the pit. That's his promise to you. He gets me up every morning. He enables me every morning to do what he's called me to do. He crowns me with his steadfast love and mercy. It just astounds me at times just how much he loves us. And I'm so thankful it's not dependent upon me. It's not dependent upon what I've done, not done, said, not said, whether I've read the Bible that day or not. He crowns me with his steadfast love. I'd love to say that 94 was the only time I've had to grit my teeth with this psalm and declare God's truth, but it's not. And in my prep, I felt God whisper to me and want to say to you to trust him. When eagles dare, okay, when they trust that air current to carry them, they soar. I felt God say, dare to go deeper with him. Get muddy. I don't like getting muddy, but get muddy. Don't be afraid to get a bit dirty in life. For out of that dirt, that perseverance, that endurance comes diamonds. Precious, precious jewels that actually can't be made unless the dirt has been put under such intense pressure. Out of my ashes come renewal, hope. Out of the dry bones come life. That's his promise. You know that song, Them Bones, Them Bones, Them Dry Bones, come into mind, but I'm not going to sing it. So even in the midst of grief and sadness, I can know a life of hope and joy. Hope instead of despair, purpose instead of vagueness, clear thinking instead of confusion. Some of you will know that one of my students took her own life at Easter. Now, that's been painful enough for those of us who knew her and loved her as friends or as staff, but for her family, it's like, oh God, it's been horrendous. And yeah, I was at work 2 weeks ago and I'd zoomed across to the cafe to get a sandwich. And I bumped into a member of staff that I haven't seen since September. And I just felt Holy Spirit say, stay. So I said, hi, how are you getting on? I hear that you've been ill. And she looks at me and I think, no, she's not been ill. There's something else going on here. And her brother had taken his life 4 weeks before. And so I'm there. And I'm like, God, because out of my mouth are coming words of truth that he's battled and walked through with me from when Jay died. Because all of us, when she died, thought, what could we have done to prevent it? Could we have been with her 24/7? were there signs that we should have noticed. Her parents, her family, they're so close, and they're like, how were we not there? What is it that we didn't do? Anger at her for doing what she did, frustration, all sorts of emotions. And so I'm there saying, oh, do you feel like this at times? And so she started to speak out how she was feeling. And I'm able to comfort her. And I found myself putting my arms around her and giving her a hug, which I would never have done. Because actually that's what she needed. She needed a shoulder to cry on. And her words were, I am so glad that I nipped out for a vape break right now, because I'm not normally out here at this time. And I said, I'm not normally here at this time either. It's a God incident. So let me be praying for you and your family as you walk through this. You know, so we can comfort with God's truth, even without using the word God. They don't need to know that sometimes. But I'm actually thankful for the journey that I'm on and that I'm being through, because I think it makes me a little bit more compassionate than I used to be, and I have a bit more empathy. When we wait upon the Lord, his promises that he renews our strength. It's not about my strength. You know, I've been in bed since Thursday. My blood pressure is too low and my pulse rate is way too high. Lovely. When he renews our strength, we mount up with wings like eagles. We run and we're not weary. We'll walk and not be faint. That's his promise. So if we're lacking in physical energy, simply go to bed. But if you're weary to your core or emotionally lacking in energy, go rest with your Father. Our soaring will be different for each one of us. Tony Wostel, or what, I never can pronounce his surname, but when he was here, he was speaking about eagles, wasn't he? And about what happens when they want their babes to learn how to fly. Go and listen to that recording. When that eagler is learning to fly and falling, thinking, whoa, because he doesn't know yet, his parents never leave his side or her side. Eagles learn to trust that current of air. They can't see it, but they can feel it. And Holy Spirit is our current of air. Irrespective of how I might feel in a day, whether the lies in my head are woo or just a little, actually, Holy Spirit, what he's whispering is so much louder eventually. I have to battle sometimes to get there, though. And I have to battle sometimes to actually give him permission to speak to me. Look at how high an eagle can soar, and yet it's hardly using any of its energy. It's purely opened its wings and trusted that air current. And for me, that's what God has been asking me to do in this season. And he's asking you to do. On the slides it says, when God pushes you to the edge of difficulty, trust him fully. Because two things can happen. Either he will catch you when you fall, or he will teach you how to fly. And that's the reality of life, isn't it? I'm still learning. And I'm still learning that it is okay to fall. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to fail. Because actually he's a God who gets us up, brushes us down, and moves us on from there. But I felt God asking us, do we dare to dare? Dare to trust him in the midst of the impossible. Dare to say yes when our initial thoughts are, I can't. Dare to step forward though your heart races. Dare to believe him when circumstances and people suggest otherwise. Dare to love though it might be rejected. dare to be patient, though there is that frustrating waiting time. Dare to trust in the promises of our Abba Father when life curve wrecking balls are swung our way. So Psalm 23, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me, his rod and staff comfort and guide me. You know, and I felt like God was just encouraging us, dare to trust him that little bit more, trust him for that little bit more, trust him in those impossible situations, trust him with your heart. You know, my heart was so hardened, and yet he softened it, and I'm sure he's still got lots to do. We're called to be his. We're not ourselves. We're called to be his. We're called to worship him and glorify him wherever we are and in all circumstances. So dare we trust him with our future. Trust him in the new things, because there's new things he's wanting to bring to some of you. There's new passions that he's stirring up in your hearts. There's new things for some of you that he wants to put your hand to. But you look and you think, well, I can't do that. Actually, Joe Bloggs would be better at that. No, God's calling you to do it, not Joe Bloggs. There's those of us who live with conditions, diseases, illness, mobility in our minds, in our hearts. And actually, he's more than able to conquer. You know, and so I trust him on those days when I've had prayer for healing, because I'm a healing in process. You know, and that day when we get our new bodies and we understand what it means, I can't wait. But in the meantime, I want to be pressing on in him. I don't want to be defined by my conditions. I want to be defined as a daughter of the Most High.